A lot to tackle with our next guest here on the Kenny and JT Show involving the Cleveland Browns. So let's get right to the interview on the Wake 'em Way hotline. We bring in the outstanding Browns beat reporter from 92.3 The Fan. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Right or Wrong Fan. Daryl Ryder joins us once again. And D, let's get right to it. We just played the Baker Mayfield interview that you guys did with him, the Q&A today, out in Berea. What did you take away from that, and what did you get to see practice-wise, if anything, with Baker today?
Well, I'll start with practice because that's the most important part. He was not on the field during the portion that was open to reporters. However, as we were leaving the field, he came out of the field house onto the field and immediately began throwing footballs. Now, typically the portion of practice, Kenny, that is open to us, we get to see stretching and we get to see the individual and the positional drills. Once they go into teamwork, they politely ask us to leave. So that's what we got to see today. As far as what he said, basically he's going to play unless something happens in the next however much time leading up to Thursday night's game. Unless something else happens, it sounds to me like he is intent on playing and making his 52nd consecutive start for the Browns.
Daryl, when Kenny asked you, or when he introduced you, he said, a lot to tackle. I thought he said, this is our new tackle, which brings me to this. The Cardinals needed a tight end. They went out and they made a deal and they brought somebody in. And they go sign Zach Ertz. We think it's going to be a great move for that team. This team, obviously, with your third good tackle already on the injured reserve list, is there any chance they're maybe targeting to try to make a deal and make a deal for a tackle offensively?
I would think it's something that they have to consider, especially with what Von Miller, I guess, just said. I don't know who the tackle I'm going against is, but I'm going to kill him.
Yes.
So that is either going to be James Hudson or Blake Hance, because I don't think that Jack Conklin or Jedrick Wills is going to be able to play. Both of them did not practice today. That's not to say that they, you know, again, get some rest here before the game, but Conklin's dealing with a knee injury and Wills has been dealing with that ankle sprain that he's had since week one and continues basically to aggravate it every single time he plays. So it's probably wise just for his own well-being to sit out. But yeah, I mean, it's not pretty. And if Baker plays, he's going to have to get rid of the football quickly. He did talk a lot about today about the need to protect himself, not put himself in harm's way. What concerned me was his admission that his shoulder popped out on a non-contact play after he dislocated it on the J.J. Watt sack. That's what concerns me. So, yeah, it's the tackle situation with the Browns is not pretty right now. And, I mean, basically the entire offense. I mean, the receiving corps, you know, top two receivers are hurt. Top two running backs are out. And the top two tackles are likely out. Baker Mayfield's playing with one arm.
And they basically learned that Wills can't be rushed back into this. And I guess it's better off to take those 2 weeks from at least – this past Sunday's game up until the Steeler game. Does that make this a must win or not then, Daryl?
Well, I think it's a must win because you can't fall below 500 in late October. It's just the way it is. They cannot go into that Steelers game as a below 500 team because that would mean that they are in last place within the division. And then you have three teams you need to pass if you want to win the division. And then you have to pass at least two of them if you want to get to the playoffs. So, I do think this is a must win. I think certainly the deck is stacked against them to be able to pull that off. Because again, whether it's Baker Mayfield, the Case Keenum at quarterback, the offense is just decimated with injuries. The good news, Denver not playing all that great. They've lost three straight. So hopefully the defense that really embarrassed the Chicago Bears and handled the Minnesota Vikings with the exception of the opening drive there up in Minneapolis, you know, hopefully that defense is what shows up Thursday night.
Daryl Ryder, our guest via the Wake 'Em Way hotline. Follow him on Twitter, Instagram, at Ryder Wrong Fan. I want to get back to Baker Mayfield, Daryl, and this was the question I wrote down on my sheet for our listeners, callers today. Is Baker hurting the team playing hurt? What do you think about that, and should it be his decision as to whether or not he plays, or should Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of this team, step in if he thinks Case Keenum will give them a better chance to win?
Well, Baker flat out said that it offends him to say that him playing injured is potentially hurting the team. He said, to use his words, he said that's not right. That's a great question. Look, he's human, so he's in pain. Pain affects you. But my take on the situation is, okay, if that's your stance, then you can't use the injury as an excuse if you play poorly and if you get criticized for playing poorly, right?
Right.
And that was the thing that got my attention a couple of weeks ago, coming off a bad game, talking to us, the shoulder's fine, no excuses, et cetera, et cetera. And then within 12 hours, the report comes out from NFL Network, oh, he's got a torn labrum. Yada yada yada. You see where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
So you, with all due respect to Baker, I respect his toughness. I still believe that he's a good football player. I know we've had those conversations and we've disagreed on some points in that regard. But at the same time, if you're out there, you need to help your team win. And my take is that if Baker is not able to play at a level to help the Cleveland Browns win, then he should not play. And that's not me criticizing Baker. That's not me trying to run him out of town. That's not me saying that he's not a good quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. My point is if he is in pain, if that shoulder doesn't stay in place, those type of things, and he's not able to go out there and perform at the level that he's capable of performing to help the team win, then he probably should not play. I don't see anything wrong with that. So I'm not going to say that he's hurting the team by playing Kenny, because I will tend to agree with him. That might be somewhat unfair considering the lengths he's going to make himself available. I mean, look, all the quarterbacks we've watched prior to him, right, that ended up not playing in games for lesser injuries than what he's actually playing with, I certainly admire him and his willingness to go out there and to try and make himself available. But if he's not able to get it done, I do believe that Kevin Stefanski, it is on him as the head coach to sit Baker down and put Case Keenum on the field.
Let's talk about that head coach for a second here, Daryl Ryder. This team's really not built to come from behind, and they really, for all intents and purposes, aren't built to stretch the field unless it's a Hail Mary and you never know what could happen. It's a flip of a coin. So they fail on third and long almost as much as they fail on fourth down conversions. Is this a time that maybe Kevin Stefanski looks in the mirror and says, oh, and by the way, our attention to detail with all the penalties we had last Sunday is another problem. Should he focus more on attention to detail and maybe let somebody else call the plays?
Well, he disagrees. I thought you were going to say, will he stop going for it on fourth down? Because the answer to that question is no, he's not. Mm-hmm. He's going to keep doing what Kevin Stefanski does, and that's going for it on fourth down. And my argument against that is, if your offense isn't humming along and executing, why on earth would you put them in a do-or-die situation when they're dying more than they're doing? Baker's sacked, of the 9 times that they have failed on fourth down, I think they're 6 of 15 on fourth down this year. So that means 9 times they have failed. And of those 9 times, Baker's been sacked 4 times. Quick math, that's nearly 50%. Mm-hmm. That's not good. That means they're not even getting throws off on those plays, right? So they don't even have a chance to be successful. Right. So that to me is the issue. I didn't have a problem with going for it in the fourth quarter on fourth down, because the game is pretty much over if you don't get the first down anyway. So, but in the first quarter on that opening drive, Kevin, take the 3. Then you're down 7-3, as opposed to not getting the fourth down, and then Arizona just marches right down the field and goes up 14-0. And even if you kick off and they scored 14-3, last time I checked, is better than 14-0. So that's my take on the fourth down situation is I wish you wouldn't be as aggressive early in the game. I understand later in the game when you see how this thing's playing out and you might say, all right, we need touchdowns, not field goals to win this thing. I don't have a problem with it then. But early in the game, if there's 3 points to be taken, I think you got to start taking those points because of the lack of success. But he's not giving up play calling. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
And, Darryl, here's what's stupid, and yes, I'm calling it stupid to me. He went for that without his two starting tackles, right?
Yep.
He went with it, went for it without his number one running back. He went for it with his backup running back, as we've come to find out from John Johnson III, playing injured this past week, which might have led to his calf injury happening in that game with Kareem Hunt. He went for it without his best receiver on the field in Jarvis Landry. To me, those come, you know, you add all that together, that's just stupid going for it on fourth down and bypassing the 3 points.
If you're looking for an argument for me, Kenny, you're not getting one.
Okay. All right.
I know. Like, they are, and we're not making excuses. This is the reality they're dealing with. They are down. They're starting two offensive tackles. They're likely down their top two wide receivers. They're likely down. Their starting quarterback, who's at maybe 50% or 60 or 75, whatever that percentage is, right? He's not at 100%. And so, at some point you have to adjust. I understand you want to be aggressive. You want to maintain that same level of confidence in your team and regardless who's, but sometime at some point you have to have a feel for the game. And that's why I asked him on Monday about, you know, hey, how much does the flow of the game and gut feel come into your discussion or decision-making process? Because I think that needs to be a part. I get the numbers. I get the analytics and those type of things. I understand all that. But at some point, you got to be able to read the room and have an understanding of the personnel you have to work with and understand how the game's going. And when you're not getting a lot of fluid production offensively, you probably don't want them in those situations, and you take the 3 points. But, I don't anticipate that Kevin Stefanski is going to alter the way he does things, because the one thing I will say in defense of him, Kenny, it came against the Chargers, right? We saw Kevin coach that those final two series. He changed the way he called the game, right? He changed his approach. And what happened? It blew up spectacularly in his face, right? And we all were nailing him because of it. So from that standpoint, is from a consistency and how he goes about his business and coaching and calling the game, I guess I can honestly say I get why he keeps going for the fourth downs, because that's what he likes to do. But I'm in your camp. You got to read the room. You got to read your personnel. And sometimes the situation does not allow you to do what you ultimately want to do.
All right, so if the offense is all banged up, doesn't that mean the defense needs to carry this team for a win over the Broncos? They're healthy, and yet they sucked this past week defensively, giving up another wide-open touchdown that you could have caught, Darryl. That's how wide-open Hopkins was. So not as many injuries. You would have caught that thing no problem. That's how wide-open that thing with Darryl. Come on, doesn't the defense need to step up?
I could have done a juggling act with it and still not been touched catching it. Look, they've had three major defensive breakdowns. They've cost them touchdowns. Now, they've had you go back and you watch, they've had other defensive breakdowns as well in that second, which is a mess. The secondary is a mess, and I don't know what's going on. John Johnson III, they brought in the safety from the Rams, who, by the way, wore the green dot, the signal caller for the Rams out there, because of all the injuries at linebacker, they're asking him to kind of do the same thing here. The key, like, that's all we're hearing, right? It's a communication issue. Well, then fix the communication. This should not happen one time, let alone a second or a third or a fourth or a fifth, like we've seen here. They got to get that side of the ball squared away and straightened out. Yes, the defense is going to have to carry the water for a little bit. Luckily, the Broncos aren't very good, right? So I'm expecting that the defense will play like they did against Minnesota, like they did against the Chicago Bears. And look, 30's your number. 30's the magic number. The Browns are 0-3 when the defense gets torched for 30 or more points. They are 3-0 when holding their opponents under 30. So that, I think, needs to be the goal Thursday night. Don't give up 30 points. They've given up 84 of them. It was funny when John Johnson mentioned a little tongue-in-cheek when we talked to him on Monday, how, yeah, you know, our defense supposedly is playing so terrible, but we're ranked second in the league in yardage allowed. And I just wanted to respectfully respond to John. Yeah, but, dude, 84 points in 2 weeks.
Right.
That's the stat that matters.
Yeah, that's absolutely the stat that matters. And I'll tell you something else, Darryl. When I look at this defense and I think about all the names they brought in over the last 2-3 years, one name that comes to mind is Ronnie Harrison Jr. When he's not hurt, Andrew Zendejo might make Andrew Zendejo look like all-pro.
Don't say that.
I'm telling you. Let's just put it this way then. Is it time to start Grant Delpit in front of Ronnie Harrison Jr.?
I think that part of that is I think they trust the veteran. And then the other part of that, too, is that, remember, Delpit's, I think they're trying not that, you know what I mean? I think that they really want that to bring him along carefully, right, and not pull the – it's similar to what they did with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, but they did that just from a schematic standpoint, right? They just slowly, gradually ramped his reps up until, unfortunately, he got hurt this past week. And I think that's what they're trying to do with Grant Delpit is they are trying, because he came off the Achilles, I think they're trying to ramp him up. But I do believe, you know, they wanted to go with what they call it, the big dime package, mm-hmm. where they have the three safeties on the field, all three of their safeties. And we saw glimpses of it. We didn't see a lot of it. And injuries have had a lot to do with that. So I don't know if it's you need to swap guys out in that regard, or they need to have three safeties on the field more.
These teams, they can't play a zone. We saw it last night. If you've got deep half and I've got deep half, you just stay back there and don't get beat deep. But yet we see it not just with the Browns. We saw it last night in Tennessee, and I just don't understand how you don't just – if that's the problem and it rears its ugly head again, Darryl, don't they just go man-to-man coverage?
I got to think so, but, you know, what I don't want to see happen is them go to the Greg Williams defense where you put a safety 40 yards away from the line of scrimmage. That I don't want to see ever again.
Fair enough. Hey, Darryl, great insight as always, my friend. Thanks for making time for us. Enjoy the game Thursday. We'll talk again soon, all right?
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me as always.
Darryl Ryder checking in via the Wake'em Way hotline. Again, follow him for all the Browns information at Ryder Wrong Fan. That's R-U-I-T-E-R, Wrong Fan. 92.3thefan.com as well.